Hi, I'm Christy Potter. I'm a journalist, I'm an author, and I'm going gray. This is a show about all the interesting, amazing, and really inspiring people who are out there every day making the world a better place. We have a very interesting guest today, a guy who has a fascinating life story and also a radio show of his own. But before we get to him, just a couple of quick housekeeping things. My debut novel, Oh Brother, is available on Amazon, both in paperback and for your Kindle. It's doing incredibly well, so if you've read it, I thank you, and if you haven't, I hope you will. So again, that's Oh Brother by Christy Potter on Amazon.com. Also, please visit our sponsor, Audible.com, the audiobook super, super, superstore. They have millions and zillions, give or take a zillion, titles to choose from, including classics and current bestsellers. And here's the best part. As a Going Gray listener, you can get a free month's membership and a free audiobook download. Just go to audible.com, that's audible.com/goinggray, and get signed up. Now, let's get to our guest, who has been chilling out in our green room. We don't really have a green room. I've just always wanted to say that. I'm joined today by Carl Helvey. Carl has 60 years of experience as a nurse practitioner, is a doctorate of public health and wellness. He's the host of the Holistic Health Show on BBS Radio Station 1. He's the author of Healthy Holistic Aging and You Can Beat Lung Cancer Using Alternative/Integrative Interventions, and he is a lung cancer survivor. Carl, thank you for being here.
Thank you, Christy. I'm happy to be with you.
Tell us, first of all, your story, some of what you first told me when we connected.
Okay. In 1974, I had a dream, and the dream told me to go for a chest x-ray. And I pay a lot of attention to dreams because I believe that that is one way that God speaks with us if we listen. Mm-hmm. And so I went to my doctor, who was very conservative, and at that time you had to go through your doctor to do anything. So in order to get a referral for an x-ray, I had to go to my doctor, and he said, "Are you having symptoms?" And I said, "No." And he said, "Well, why do you want an x-ray?" And I said, "Well, I just want one." Well, I finally convinced him that it was important to have an x-ray without telling him that it was because of a dream.
Right.
And so I had the x-ray that said I had a spot that I had not had previously. And so they asked me to do a biopsy. So they did a biopsy, and that came back as lung cancer. And the doctor and the surgeon came to my room and told me that they were going to do surgery followed by chemo. And I said, "Wait a minute." I said, "I don't make snap decisions. I go home. I pray about it. I make a rational decision." And he said, "Well, you'll be dead in 6 months." And I said, "But that's my responsibility. Your responsibility is to tell me the pros and cons of surgery and chemo. And my responsibility is to make the decision." And he kept saying, "But you will be dead in 6 months." And I kept saying, "But that's all right. That's my decision." Wow. I said, "I may be back, and I may not." And so he didn't know, but his sister and I were very good friends. And we were in a Edgar Cayce Search for God group. And so Ursula said, "Well, you know, if you want," she said, "I will pray and watch my dreams also." And she said, "Would you like a psychic reading?" And I thought, "Well, I've got nothing to lose." And she said, "Well, I know one of the best psychics in the country." And so she arranged for a reading, and we compared notes on our dreams and the reading, and everything said to treat it naturally. So Ursula said, "Well, I have a contact in Northern Virginia who used to work for the National Cancer Institute using Laetrile," and she said he was so successful that the government closed him down. But she said he's continuing to practice and to provide care out of his office in Northern Virginia. So she said, would you like to see him? And I said, yes. So I went, and he confirmed again that it was lung cancer. He told me to take 200 milligram of Laetrile daily, and now they recommend 300 for the first 21 days to start, and then move to 3,000, and then to move to 2,000. But a lot of people think that the Laetrile is not as strong as it used to be because of the depletion of our soil.
Oh, okay.
And so the Laetrile, if you read the traditional literature, it will say that Laetrile will kill you. It has cyanide in it. It will send you to the emergency, etc. But what it doesn't say is there is cyanide in it, but it needs certain chemicals to activate it.
Okay.
Cancer cells have those chemicals in the fluid around the cancer cells, but normal cells do not, so that it's very specific for cancer cells, but does not affect normal cells. I also took pancreatic enzymes, and the pancreatic enzymes, most people with cancer are deficient of pancreatic enzymes, and they also help to soften the cancer cells. And now most people are deficient of pancreatic enzymes anyhow, because most people eat processed foods, they eat genetically modified foods, they eat all of these things, they eat a lot of cooked foods, they don't eat many raw foods, and there's a certain amount of digestion that takes place in the stomach with raw food, but with cooked, it goes further, and then that is where it puts the drain on the pancreatic enzymes in the digestion.
Mm-hmm.
And so I took the pancreatic enzymes, I took zinc, which is a carrier for the Laetrile. It helps to get it to the cancer cells. I took high doses of vitamin A and E, and high doses, I mean, I started at 300,000 international units. Then I went the second week to 200,000. Then the third week, I went to 50,000 and stayed there for a year. And just to see how toxic this was, the normal or recommended daily dose is 5,000 international units.
Wow.
And the rationale for this was that it helps to prevent the normal cells converting to cancer cells.
I see. Okay.
And then I asked the doctor about it, because I said, you know, that's a fat-soluble vitamin, so that all excess is stored in the fat,
mm-hmm.
and not excreted like vitamin C. And he said, well, he said, I'll give you high-dose vitamin E that will help with the toxicity. So I took, I think it was 600 milligram of the vitamin E, vitamin E. And then I took, of course, vitamin C. I took a variety of vitamin Bs. I took a variety of minerals and other supplements like bromelain, which is an anti-inflammatory.
Right.
Then he put me on a diet that was very similar to a vegan diet today. I had 75% raw fruit and vegetables with some additional cooked. I could have nuts except peanuts that are a high source of protein. I could have grains. I could have no protein and no simple carbohydrates such as cakes, pies, candy, ice cream. And
right.
That has to do with the knowledge that, and even back then, the alternative doctors knew that cancer cells thrive in an anaerobic environment, and it takes 15 times more carbohydrate to convert to energy in that environment than in an aerobic environment that normal cells live in. So people always say, well, cancer cells need a lot of sugar, and that's why. I took a something called AG Pro, which was a predigested protein so that I didn't develop any deficiencies. I added the doctor, which is very typical of doctors, he gave me the physical aspects, but he didn't tell me anything about the mental, spiritual, which I think are just as important. Mm-hmm. And so I added prayer, meditation, visualization, affirmations. I was on church prayer lists. I called Olga Worrell, psychic healer. I was on her prayer list. I tried to develop patience, forgiveness. Mm-hmm. I tried to serve others, and so I developed a whole regime that was a more holistic approach than what most people were using.
Right.
I went to the doctor didn't ask me to come back, so I didn't go back to him. Mm-hmm. I went back to my primary doctor, but I didn't tell him I was doing anything. And so mm-hmm. he thought we were in a wait and see mode. And so every 6 months I went back for an x-ray to check progress, because at that time we didn't have CAT scans or any of the things we have today. And so that was the only way we could measure progress. And after 2 years, he said he guessed he had made the wrong diagnosis because the spot was gone.
Wow.
Well, my friend in North Carolina, who was professor of pediatrics when I taught at Duke, and at this point, he's the medical director for Blue Cross Blue Shield, mm-hmm. said, well, I want to see the x-rays, the lab. I want to see everything that they did. And so I collected all of it, and I went to North Carolina for the weekend. And he reviewed everything, and he said, yes, it definitely was lung cancer.
Wow.
And never a recurrence, you know, in the 37 years since. I've never had recurrence.
I'm not telling you anything you don't know, but that is absolutely amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you made a good point, and I wanted to hear what you have to say a little bit more about this. Holistic treatments, I think, for all kinds of things, not even just for cancer, are getting more widely used and respected all the time. Why do you think that is?
Well, I think because it works. There's research that shows that, you know, meditation has been something that has been tested very much in terms of heart problems, mm-hmm. because of the stress that people experience now, and how the meditation, you know, calms people down and they don't have the stress. And so I find that very important. I also find it very important, the spiritual, because I think that so many people are, and I make a distinction between spiritual and religious. Mm-hmm. I don't consider myself necessarily religious, but I consider myself very spiritual. Mm-hmm. And I distinguish between them. I think that religion has a lot of dogma, mm-hmm. a lot of I was going to say drama, but that's not the word. They have a lot of rituals.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they think they know all the answers, because the answers are all in the Bible, but it's always a matter of how they interpret it. One person interprets it. I think that a spiritual person is someone that is searching for answers, is open to all kinds of things, mm-hmm. Trying to be a better person in their interactions with their fellow man, mm-hmm. and trying to develop a relationship with something beyond themselves, whether it's God or whether it's Buddha or whether it's Jesus or whoever it is.
Mm-hmm.
So I think this is very important, and I think that people that don't survive often do not have that strong connection with something beyond themselves.
And that actually, I wanted to go back to something you said earlier. I wanted to have you mentioned it, but I would like to have you expand on it a little bit, and this is actually a good lead-in. So many people, when their doctor says, you have cancer, their mind immediately goes to the worst. And of course, I can understand that. My family just went through it as well. But they immediately think the worst, that it's a death sentence. Now, tell me, you talked a little bit about what that moment was like for you, but I would like to know more about what went through your head in that moment, especially lung cancer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what went through your mind in that moment, and how did you get yourself so quickly to a place of, okay, this is what we're going to do, you know, and how you took it from there?
I think, Christy, that what helped a lot was that I had a dream and told me initially to go for the x-ray. So I think that my faith did not make this as traumatic an experience as it might have had I not had the dream.
Mm-hmm.
If I had just gone to the doctor, it's like, as I mentioned earlier, when I had atrial fibrillation recently, you know, that just happened. I didn't have any forewarning. And before I knew it, the doctor had put the fear of God in me, you know, and I don't subscribe to the fear of God. I subscribe to the love of God.
Right.
But I ended up on the medications, which, you know, is not my usual style. So I think that, and just to finish that thought, I have overcome the atrial fibrillation and will be off the medications very shortly. But to go back to previously, the dream, I think, helped me because I knew that something beyond me was guiding me and that I was going to come through it all right. So I never had any lack of faith that I was going to get better.
Wow. That's beautiful. That's actually beautiful. Now, let's talk about, you've done a lot of work. You've been a teacher, an educator, and a researcher, and I read that you recently did a video presentation at the 41st Annual Convention of the Cancer Control Society. Tell us about that.
Well, that was interesting, and the one thing that I hesitated to say, but I decided I really needed to say it, and that was that I used every resource that is available to help maintain my health so that I can help other people. I consult medical intuitives, and that has brought me through a couple times.
Mm-hmm.
I go to psychics sometimes if I need answers that I know we all have the answers within, but sometimes I need confirmation that the answers that I'm getting are the right answers.
Mm-hmm.
But the other thing was that I had discovered about 3 years ago through an article that I read that we all have angels. And I hesitated about whether I should say this or not, but I decided I was going to. And so I used an example of, I had just read an article that we all have angels and Hurricane Irene was coming. And I thought, well, I'm going to test this out. So I opened my back door and the water was up 2 bricks up my house and one more brick and it would have been inside. And
right.
I had gone through the Hurricane Isabel and had 3 feet of water through my house. And I remembered what a nightmare that was, having the wallboard replaced and the mold and all of that. And so I thought, well, I don't want that. So I opened the door and I said, come on, my angels. I do not want water in my house. I've gone through this before. I know you can keep the water out of my house, et cetera, et cetera. And the water never came any higher. So the next day I went through the same process and the water was about 3 feet from my house and it never came any closer. Well, my neighbor's houses are further back from the water and they both flooded. And so about a month later, I'm out walking one day and I forgot to use my mosquito repellent, which is a all natural, eucalyptus and lemon, I think it is. And I forgot to put it on. And so I thought, well, the angels kept the water out of my house. They certainly can keep these little mosquitoes off me.
Mm-hmm.
And so I asked them and the mosquitoes left and I didn't have any more problem. And so I use a little affirmation each morning that is, divine, I am present, angels, guides, and beings of light. I give you permission to guide, enfold, and protect me this day for my highest good and the highest good of all. And then every night before I go to bed, I use another little affirmation, and it is, "Dear angel of forgiveness, please harmonize, transmute, and balance all negative energies and thought forms that I have projected over the last 24 hours that are not of the light and of the love." And I hope that that will then prevent me from having negative consequences to any negative actions that I might have inadvertently committed, because I strongly believe that we do create our own future, that what we send out comes back to us, and so if we send out negative things, that will come back, as well as if we send out positive things, that also will come back.
Right.
So I hesitated to say that, but I decided, well, I'm going to go ahead and say this anyhow. Uh-huh. And people applauded at the end. So I think more and more people are realizing that we do have angels, that there is another world that we're not aware of, mm-hmm. that this world is around us, that they're there to help us, and that if we call on the angels as well as God, we mm-hmm. have help and our life becomes easier.
Wow. That's beautiful as well, and I think it's interesting what you said, that you got the reaction you got, because I can see why you would hesitate to say that and to have gotten a positive reaction. That's an affirmation right there.
Well, I also had to start by saying I studied at one of the most conservative universities in the country, and I considered Johns Hopkins as a pretty traditional conservative institution.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so the other thing that I would like to ask you is, you've been a nurse practitioner, as we said, an educator and a researcher for a long time. What do you, this is going to be a tough question, so take your time. What do you know about cancer now that you didn't know 50 years ago, or even 10 years ago?
Well, 50 years ago, I would have been very traditional oriented. Mm-hmm. And I would have thought that chemo, surgery, radiation were the way to go. Mm-hmm. But fortunately, by the time that I had it, 39 years ago, mm-hmm. my views had shifted some. And I think that now my views are even completely at the opposite end, not only as far as cancer, but as far as all illnesses. Mm-hmm. Part of this is a result of my own experience, because anytime I have a problem, I find natural ways to deal with it. And even though the doctor scared me into doing the blood thinner and the beta blocker, had I not been hit with that when I went into the hospital and not had any time to think about it, there are natural ways, and I was taking many natural blood thinners. In fact, they were doing a better job than the blood thinner that the doctor prescribed. I also was taking things that was keeping my blood pressure down without being aware of it, but I only knew these were things that were healthy. And it seems like a lot of times I end up taking things, and then afterwards, when the scientific literature comes along and it validates it, I think, well, I wonder why I started taking that. So it's almost like a lot of it is intuitive.
Right.
Without even realizing why I'm doing something.
Mm-hmm.
But
sure.
And so part of it is my own experience with finding natural things, like when I had diverticulitis, and they gave me steroids, and I threw the steroids. I didn't fill the prescription. Mm-hmm. I got some aloe vera, and I drank the aloe vera, and in 4 days, the pain was gone. And they had told me I would never eat berries again, and I would never eat nuts again. And I eat 4 pounds of nuts a week, and I eat berries on my cereal every morning. And that was 20-some years ago, and when I had a colonoscopy recently, they told me I had diverticulosis, and I said, yes, I know. It doesn't bother me. I don't bother it. I've never had another episode. aloe vera is a wonderful thing for people to keep in their medicine cabinet or in their refrigerator because it is useful for so many things.
Sure.
But between my own experience and the radio show where I do series, and so I've done series on arthritis, on back pain, on diabetes, on cancer, seasonal allergies. And they're all natural ways to deal with these. I've found that there are natural ways to deal with so many diseases that it makes me wonder if medicine is just not a money-making business because it does not get at the underlying causes. It treats the symptoms.
Right.
And there are natural ways that do a much better job of the whole thing. And I wonder when we get by the greed and the power and all of the negativity in our environment, if we won't be using much more natural things to deal with any problems that we have.
Yeah, I think from everything that the people that I've talked to, both in the health field and as patients, there is more of a push towards using the natural things, just for a lot of reasons, but not the least of which is sometimes I've had people tell me sometimes with whatever it is that's ailing them, the side effects of the medicine is worse than what was ailing them in the first place.
Right, definitely. It is
You know,
right.
that is very interesting. All right, well, we're just about out of time here, but before we go, tell us where we can find out more about you and your work, and also where we can buy your books.
Okay. I have two websites. One is beatlungcancer.net, and
Okay.
on that website I have the endorsements. I have a site, you can buy the book there or you can buy it at Amazon. I
Super.
have under the blog a lot of the radio television shows that I have done, some of the magazine reviews. I think I've got some of the Amazon reviews. And the second site I have is holistichealthshow.com. And that has all of my radio shows for the last, well, since I started 5.5 years ago. And then I also twice a week, put the latest research. Now it's mainly on the latest research on natural ways to deal with cancer. And so, I'm on Facebook. I have a page there that is on the Beat Lung Cancer. I have a page on the Holistic Health Show. And I also have a page under my own, Carl Helvey page. I'm on LinkedIn. I'm on, most of the social media sites. So.
Wow, I have to tell you told me early in our conversation, excuse me, that you're 81, and I have to tell you, I have never known anybody over about 60 who's so connected. Good for you. I think that's great, and it is a great way to get your message out.
Right, definitely.
Everything like that that's out there. So I hope you don't care that I just gave away your age. I'm fascinated by the fact that you could have fooled me. By 30 years, you could have fooled me. So I'm very impressed with that. And that right there says something for holistic living.
Right, definitely.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Carl, for being with us today and for all of your time and all of your insight.
Thank you, Christy. I appreciate the opportunity to talk with you and with your listeners.
Okay, well, thank you again and be well.
Thank you.
All right, that's it for me. Although, before I go, I would like to apologize for the background noise in today's podcast. They never work on my building at all, but today, of course, they decided to do a lot of clanging and banging, apparently because I'm podcasting. So I apologize for that. At any rate, I will be back here again on Monday with another amazing guest. And in the meantime, you can find my books on Amazon. You can find earlier episodes of Going Gray on iTunes. And as always, my home base is ChristyTheWriter.com.